Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. Today, the weather across Jakarta is relatively sunny and the activities of the Jakarta people are quite good. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits Banten to observe areas affected by tsunami. Chinese President Xi Jinping extends condolences to Indonesian tsunami victims. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited Banten province to observe several areas affected by the Sunda Strait tsunami. The president took off from the Atang Sanjaya Airport, Bogor, aboard the Indonesian Air Force helicopter EC-725 Caracal at around 9 a.m. local time for Pandeglang District. Escorted by Antara News Agency on Monday, December 24, upon arrival in Pandeglang District, President Joko Widodo immediately observed the situation at various locations affected by the tsunami. In addition, the president visited several health centers and hospitals in Pandeglang where the victims are being treated. The president called for proper and swift handling of the impact of tsunami disaster, according to Deputy Protocol, Press and Media, Presidential Secretariat Bey Mahmudin. During the visit, the president was accompanied by Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono, Social Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, Indonesia's Military Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, including Head of Presidential Secretariat Heru Budi Hartono. After the second day of the tsunami hit Banten area, cleaning effort began to be done. Quick countermeasures is needed to prevent the spread of bacteria so as not infect the survivors. Minister of Health Nila Muluk conveyed this on the sidelines of her visit to Berkah Pandeglang Hospital, Banten on Monday, December 24.
Ini yang penting. Jadi pertama memang emergensinya kita harus tangani dulu.
This is important. Firstly, we must deal with emergency actions. The most important is evacuation of dead victims because it will have an impact on the environment if the body has decayed. We also must help the wounded victims. After that, we have to clean the area. If our neighbors' houses are destroyed, we must help them, such as by giving disinfectants. One more important thing for refugees, they need food such as high-calorie biscuits that can be given to toddlers and pregnant women. Post-disaster recovery continues to be carried out by all levels of government, volunteers, and the local community. The Banten provincial government has provided 10 posts in several tsunami-affected areas. According to data collected by Chairman of the Medical and Health Sector, Banten Regional Police, from all hospitals and health centers at the tsunami location, the disaster has claimed hundreds of lives, 204 of them have been identified. Chinese President Xi Jinping has extended his condolences to the victims of the Sunda Strait tsunami. The Chinese President conveyed the condolences in a written statement to President Joko Widodo on Monday, December 24. As quoted by Antara News Agency on the same day, Monday, in the condolence statement, Xi claimed that he was surprised to learn the Sunda Strait tsunami, which took the lives of people and caused damages to locals' homes and other public facilities. On behalf of the Chinese government and people, and on his own behalf, President Xi Jinping expressed his condolences to President Joko Widodo over the victims' families, the dead and the injured, and those who were affected by the natural disaster. According to Jinping, Indonesia is a good neighbor, and so the people of China could deeply feel the suffering of the Indonesian people who were affected by the tsunami. Xi Jinping strongly believed that the Indonesian government under the leadership of Joko Widodo and all Indonesian people would be able to overcome the impact of the disaster. Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono has offered condolences and expressed sympathy through Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi over the tsunami that hit the districts of Pandeglang, Serang, and South Lampung on Saturday. Minister Kono remarked in a statement from the Japanese Embassy in Jakarta on Monday, expressed his condolences to the government and all people of Indonesia for the tsunami disaster that caused loss of life and damage in Sunda Strait on December 22, 2018. Kono noted that the Japanese government had expressed readiness to provide assistance to its Indonesian counterpart. The government and all people of Japan prayed for the speedy recovery of those injured in the disaster and quick restoration of places damaged by the disaster. In addition, Malaysia's Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah Wan Ismail, through her Twitter account, extended her condolences to the victims of the deadly tsunami that struck Indonesia's Sunda Strait. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Central authorities have warned residents to temporarily hold activities along the beaches of the Sunda Strait following what they called a volcanic earthquake on Anak Rakatau volcano that had triggered a tsunami in Banten and Lampung on Saturday night. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG Chairwoman Dwi Korita Karnawati in Jakarta on Monday said that the agency had forecast extreme weather in the area until at least Wednesday. Weather forecasts suggest extreme weather, including strong winds and torrential rain, which may trigger high tide and last until at least Wednesday. Residents should not panic, but please refrain from conducting any activities near beaches. BMKG will announce later if BMKG thinks the warning should be extended. She further advised residents to always refer to authorized agencies, particularly the BMKG, when seeking reliable information. The authorities will also closely monitor Mount Anak Rakatau. She also stated that after studying data and satellite imagery, a joint team involving relevant institutions, such as the Coordinating Maritime Ministry, the BMKG, and the Geospatial Information Body, concluded that Anak Rakatau's eruptions had led to a material collapse, which triggered tremors equivalent to a magnitude 3.4 earthquake. Economic diplomacy with Africa has become one of priorities of the foreign policy of Indonesia under Joko Widodo's administration. In its effort to build economic ties and enhance trade cooperation with African countries, Indonesia hosted a two-day Indonesia-Africa Forum on April 10 and 11 this year to bring nations in the continent closer to trade and economic cooperation. As the second growing economy in the world, Africa has myriad hidden potential. As quoted by Antara News Agency during his opening speech at the IAF, Vice President Yusuf Kalla cited Wakanda, a fictional African nation and home to the superhero Black Panther, as a parable of how Africa has hidden gems. He explained that the film Black Panther and its fictional nation Wakanda has great resources that are often unknown to the outside world, so is Africa a continent with tremendous potential. Nonetheless, Yusuf Kalla believed Indonesia and Africa are also in the process of conducting massive infrastructure development to boost the economy. The last item, Following the divestment deal and the 20-year contract extension, gold and copper miner PT Freeport Indonesia (PTFI) plans to focus on develop a smelter and the underground mine at its Grasberg facility in Papua. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Monday, Freeport McMoRan CEO Richard Atkerson said the government had underlined the importance of constructing the smelter as stated in the Definitive Special Mining Permit, or IUPK, which allows PTFI to extend its operational contract to 2041. Freeport McMoRan CEO Richard Atkerson said that Freeport is committed to complete the smelter construction within 5 years, and Freeport would invest $20 billion toward its mining operations and development until 2041. Meanwhile, PTFI Corporate Communications Vice President Riza Pratama said that a major part of the fund would go toward developing Grasberg's underground mine. In another site, PT Freeport Indonesia President Director Tony Wenas stressed the importance of developing the underground mine because the open pit mine was expected to be depleted in 2019. As much as $14 billion has been added to the underground mine's development until 2041. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, this is commentary with me, Amanda. Indonesia was hit by another disaster not long after the earthquake in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, and in Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. Tsunami in Sunda Strait hit Banten and South Lampung provinces on Saturday. Until Sunday, there were 222 people died, approximately 843 wounded, and 30 missing in this disaster. The tsunami damaged many buildings and infrastructure. Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, had confirmed that the tsunami was caused by volcanic activity and eruption of Mount Anak Krakatoa that had been seen since Saturday evening. This condition had been warned and the volcano was given alert status since June 2018. The activity of Mount Anak Krakatoa keeps increasing since June 18, 2018. The previous months, from July until November, eruptions keep happening. The latest one was on December the 22nd, which was suspected to cause the dreadful tsunami in Banten and Lampung. The tsunami, killing hundreds, had become a global concern. Some foreign media reported this disaster. Condolences and sympathy kept coming from some world leaders. Series of disaster actually never makes Indonesia weak and desperate. Disaster should be faced, overcome, and seen simply as a divine trial, so Indonesians can be more stronger in facing greater challenges. We could see the Japanese who turn into an advanced country despite of the frequent earthquakes. Disasters which often hit Indonesia must be a lesson for her to avoid and anticipate them. Indonesians must stay alerted and ready to face the possibility of other disasters. Among others is by having simulations so that people will know what to do during disasters. Besides that, proper early warning system must be ready so that both the people and local government can be alerted and save themselves before the disaster happens. This is expected to lower down casualties in disasters. That was commentary.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with December the 25th, 1926. Hirohito was crowned Emperor of Japan. Hirohito was the longest-serving emperor of Japan from 1926 until 1989 and was one of the important figures during the World War II and in the rebuilding of Japan. He was officially appointed crown prince on November 16, 1916, after his father, Emperor Taisho, died, and was officially inaugurated on November 10, 1928 in Kyoto. switched to December 25, 1989, former Romanian President Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife are sentenced to death. Nicolae Ceaușescu was a Romanian politician who was General Secretary of the Romanian Communist Party from 1965 to 1989, President of the State Council from 1967, and President of Romania from 1974 to 1989. On December 25, 1989, Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife Elena were sentenced to death after several accusations ranging from enriching themselves illegally to genocide or systematic massacre. I'll end with December 25, 1991. Mikhail Gorbachev resigns as president of the Soviet Union. That day, 27 years ago, December 25, 1991, became the last day for Mikhail Gorbachev to be in the seat of state power in the Soviet Union. Gorbachev resigned from the Soviet Union highest position after about 7 years serving as the main leader, about 2 years as president. Gorbachev was a 1990 Nobel Peace Prize laureate and the first recipient of the Ronald Reagan Freedom Award from his former rival Ronald Reagan in 1992. Well, that was Today in History. Our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Lihat yang
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today, we will bring you a topic about Pancasila, a joint concession. As quoted by Tempo.co, Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, or MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, during the socialization on four pillars of MPR in Magelang, Central Java, remarked that besides being the state philosophy and ideology of Indonesia, Pancasila is also a joint concession consisting of principles of Indonesia people behavior. Zulkifli took example the first principle of Pancasila, which is belief in the one and only God. It is the principle of Indonesian people to behave in accordance to the values taught by their religions. Therefore, if Indonesian people implement the practices of their religions, they are considered Pancasilais, namely people who follow the principles of Pancasila. Zulkifli Hasan said that the establishment of Pancasila as the principles of Indonesian people's daily life shows the great importance of Pancasila for Indonesian people. Zulkifli also explained that the second principle of Pancasila, which is just and civilized humanity, encourages Indonesian people to treat other people amicably and fairly without discriminating them. Meanwhile, the third principle, which is the united of Indonesia, is the principle of Indonesian people's behaviors to maintain unity and not to provoke others amid tensions. This includes the importance of maintaining unity ahead of the 2019 legislative and presidential elections. Meanwhile, as quoted by PikiranRakyat.com, member of the steering committee at the Agency for the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila, or BPIP, Mahfud MD, when presenting a public lecture entitled Reviving the Courtesy of Pancasila, Strategy of Pancasila Value Internalization at Campus held by Islamic University of Bandung, he said that Pancasila must be implemented at universities. According to him, Pancasila's values cannot be implemented by using doctrines, but instead by applying academic methods. Listener, that was My Indonesia. Thank you for joining us.
Voice of Indonesia.
Di balik ku
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring information about art, culture, culinary, and tourism. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about the kinds of Christmas culinary. Stay tuned. On this Christmas Day, we will take you to explore a number of Indonesian traditional foods that are usually served during Christmas celebration. For those who spend your Christmas holiday in Indonesia, you may find and try these Christmas culinary recommendations. When you celebrate your Christmas holiday in Ambon, Maluku, you should try the local dishes of Ambonese people. One of them is called ikan kuah kuning or yellowfish soup. When it is served, the combination of orange, spices, and bilimbi fruit gives you delicate aroma. Yellowfish soup uses tuna fish as its main ingredient. Many kinds of herbs such as garlic, onion, turmeric, lime leaves, and coriander are used as the seasoning of the dish. The food is very tasty and spicy. Usually it is served with papeda or sago at Christmas night. Besides yellowfish soup, Ambonese people also love to serve popor cheese cake. The dessert is served for family or relatives who visit them during Christmas celebration. Popor cheese is usually eaten at breakfast during Christmas. Popor cheese looks like the mini version of pancake. It also tastes like pancake. The cake is the adaptation of popor cheese cake from the Netherlands. Usually, popor cheese is made from yellow pumpkin, flour, yolk, baking powder, milk powder, and salt. To beautify the appearance of popor cheese, icing sugar is sprinkled on the top of it. Meanwhile, in Makassar, South Sulawesi, people usually serve ayam buda-buda or chicken buda-buda. The dish is cooked by using various spices. This Christmas culinary is made from chicken, lime water, tamarind, ginger, and leek. Chicken buda-buda is better served while it is still hot. Manadonese people in North Sulawesi usually serve ayam rica-rica or chicken rica-rica during Christmas celebration. The word rica is derived from Manadonese language, which means spicy or chili. The main ingredients of this cuisine comprise chicken and seasonings such as red chili, cayenne chili, onion, garlic, ginger, salt, and sugar. All those ingredients are cooked by using coconut oil and mixed with lime leaves, lemongrass, as well as lime water. Chicken rica-rica is typically served with fried onion and cucumber. Its spicy yet delicious taste makes it a special serving during Christmas celebration. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about the kinds of foods served during Christmas. See you in our next edition. Sampai jumpa.
gersang merindukan jamahan roh suci.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Hello there. Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and phrases and guiding you to use them in a conversation. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Malam Natal, or in English, Christmas Eve. Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Malam Natal or in Christmas Eve. At Joko's house, Enda and Tony were discussing Tony's plan to spend Christmas Eve.
Besok hari Natal.
Iya.
Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam?
Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce a phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely Malam Natal or in English, Christmas Eve. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Kebaktian. Kebaktian, which means service. Pendeta. Pendeta, which means reverend or pastor. Gereja. Gereja, which means church. Hari Natal. Hari Natal, which means Christmas. Besok, besok, which means tomorrow. Nanti, nanti, which means later. Nanti malam, which means tonight. Pergi, pergi, which means to go. Teman, teman, which means friend or friends. Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam, which means what will you do tonight? Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian, which means the pastor invited me to dinner at his house after the service. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta. Jadi nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta, which means so tonight I will go to the church then have dinner at the pastor's house. In a conversation between Endah and Tony, Dinda asked Tony plan on Christmas Eve by saying, apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam? Which means, what are you doing tonight? To ask about a plan someone will do, you can say, apa yang akan kamu lakukan? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan? Which means, what will you do? What are you doing? You can add an adverb of time after the expression, such as nanti. Nanti, which means later. Nanti malam. Nanti malam, which means tonight. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Lusa. Lusa, which means the day after tomorrow. Hari Minggu. Hari Minggu, which means Sunday. Minggu depan. Minggu depan, which means next week. Example, apa yang akan kamu lakukan besok? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan besok? Which means, what will you do tomorrow? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan pada hari Minggu? Apa yang akan kamu lakukan pada hari Minggu? Which means, what will you do on Sunday? Example of answer to these questions are, aku akan pergi ke gereja. Aku akan pergi ke gereja. Aku akan pergi ke gereja, which means I will go to church. Saya akan makan malam di rumah pendeta. Saya akan makan malam di rumah pendeta, which means I will have dinner at the pastor's house. Saya akan pergi ke rumah teman. Saya akan pergi ke rumah teman, which means I am going to a friend's house. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Besok hari Natal.
Iya.
Apa yang akan kamu lakukan nanti malam?
Pendeta mengundangku makan malam di rumahnya setelah kebaktian. Jadi, nanti malam aku akan ke gereja lalu makan malam di rumah pendeta.
That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Karunia-Mu Natal yang terindah, saat aku bisa kembali ke rumah, canda tawa dihiasi warna-warni terang. Oh Natalku bersama keluarga, panjang
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the Music Corner, so stay tuned.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a segment featuring information about Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will present you Malay songs. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Burung Kenari or Canary Bird by Asmidar Darwis and Tiara Mon. The song tells us to sing together and be cheerful. Enjoy the song.
Sedang sembunyi di balik rimbunan pohon yang tinggi, membawa derita di hati. Biarlah ku hidup sendiri. Bersamalah kita memadu kasih, buangkan yang keruh, ambil yang jernih. Marilah bersama menyanyi, hapuskan hati yang bersedih.
Just listen to a song entitled Burung Kenari or Canary Bird, composed by P. Ramlee. The lyrics of the song are rhythmic poems. The music sounds catchy, therefore it is an attractive song to accompany us dancing. Now let's listen to another Malay song. The title of the song is Selat Melaka or Melaka Strait. It is sung by Asmidar Darwis and Tiara Mon. The song tells about advices of life. Happy listening.
Tempat berlabuh perahu Bugis, Selat Malaka airnya tenang. Tempat berlabuh perahu Bugis. Sangka hidupku senang, mulut tertawa, hati menangis.
Berpati dua sekali.
You've just listened to the song Selat Malaka or Malacca Strait by Asmidar Darwish and Tia Ramon. The song consists of four rhythmic poems. Asmidar Darwish and Tia Ramon sing each of its lyrics in turn. The music itself has medium tempo. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Naik Sampan or Taking Canoe, composed by Hussein Aidit. The lyrics of the song are rhythmic poems. The song itself tells about the expression of happiness when taking canoe. In accordance to its lyrics, the song portrays the happiness of a man when taking sampan or a small boat like canoe. The music sounds cheerful and it has fast tempo. That was the segment of Music Corner for today about Malay songs. Thank you for joining us. See you in our next edition. Bye for now.
Alright listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.